tell, but it looks like one eye looks smaller than the other. I don't know what's happening. Well, I guess I should explain. Hey, everyone, I'm Patrick Jones, and welcome to episode 38 of That Gives Me Anxiety. I'm starting something new whenever the guest is okay with me sharing the video of it or our interview. I'm going to do that, which is cool. You get to see the ridiculous facial expressions. You get to hear how long it takes me to come up with a question at times when I feel stalled or thrown off course. And of course, you get to watch me record these intros and outros by when I'm by myself. Just here in my office, thinking of things to say. But yeah, I'm looking at the camera and it's just my own insecurities. I also went back and forth about whether or not I was going to wear this white hat, but I'm wearing a white shirt. So I just look like an 11-year-old at like a farm-to-table white party. Boy, that's an out-of-touch joke. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, I think it looks better without that. Anyway, let's see what happened this weekend. Oh, Jamie and I went kayaking in, I don't know what body of water. We launched near Shem's Creek, kind of a busy spot to kayak. But it's cool, a lot of pelicans that are coming close to you. I felt weird feeling nervous about letting the pelicans get too close, but it's just so funny if you look back, like every other person is like, please stay back, pelican. And the pelican's just looking at everyone like, you know, I can jump out and get you. But yes, I've got a great episode lined up today. Today's the full interview with Jonna DeMellon, who is a spiritual medium. And yeah, some clips were already shared from the episode with her and Abby Goldfarb talking about ghosts, Broadway's own. But it's just so fun, so I wanted to share the full episode, the full interview. So before we get to Shauna, I want to remind you that if you're liking the show, to please remember to rate and review it, whatever platform you're listening to it on. You can check the show out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, or YouTube. YouTube is where you can watch the video version if you'd prefer to do that. And if you're liking the show and you want to support it and support me, you can click the link in the description for the Buy Me a Coffee link. It's a bunch of links. It's perfect delivery. It's just a way to send a donation of whatever amount you feel comfortable with. You're really having a good time with the show and learning a lot, and you want to see them continue to be made. Well, as always, thank you so much for listening, and enjoy talking about ghosts, or listening about ghosts. Joining me now on the podcast is Shauna DeMellon, who is a spiritual medium, and we are going to talk about ghosts. Shauna, yes, it's set to tingle down my spine already. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Oh my goodness, this is just so exciting. Just, yeah. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about, and it flows nicely into the whole arena around anxiety. So thank you. I'm excited for our chat today.
Thank you. Oh my goodness. Yeah. We connected and did an episode of my other podcast, Death Space Filling the Void. And then the idea kind of came up that we should talk about ghosts. I mean, it's certainly something that people are afraid of. So why don't we start by you sort of introducing yourself and telling people what you do, and then we can get into the background of when you started to experience ghosts. I don't know if that's the verb.
The verb, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. I am a spiritual medium. I'm also a life coach, and I work energetically. So for anyone who has seen the movie Ghost, that is usually a precursor to the classes I teach. I tell people, go home, watch the movie Ghost. It gives a pretty accurate depiction of what the spirit world is like and what it's like to communicate with them. The other movie that I usually give as homework is Doctor Strange, with the energy and the sacred geometry and all of that kind of good stuff rolled into one. As a little girl, I saw spirit everywhere, and I called them the see-through people. And so you could say they were ghosts. Some people refer to them as entities. Some people call them crossover loved ones, angels, ancestors, light beings, benevolent energies. There are countless names for the different energies. Basically, these energies are not in a physical body. And so as a little girl, I just saw them everywhere. And I thought everyone saw them. And that wasn't always the case. And so I grew up going to Catholic school. And so it wasn't something that was readily talked about. And I think we may have talked about this in our last chat. We didn't have TV shows. We didn't have books. We didn't have people readily talking about this and normalizing it for people to help them understand. Another great movie is The Sixth Sense. The little boy talks about, you know, he's like, I see dead people. And a lot of times when someone has anxiety, when there's all this different energy that's around them, it's like their energy and their body is picking up on something different, but their logical mind isn't able to make sense of it. The logical mind is going, oh my gosh, there's something wrong. Something's not right. Something is going to get me. I'm not safe. And it just, it sort of takes on a mind of its own. It's like it activates that lizard brain. It activates that brain that puts us in fight or flight. And that instantly can kick us into that anxiety and just, I don't know what this is. And I just feel off. And the invitation that I always love to give people is to acknowledge that you're aware of something. In that first moment is just having the awareness that, okay, something has shifted. And if you can stay in that place of question and starting to really question whatever that is. I always love to tell people, everyone's intuitive. Everyone on the planet has intuitive gifts and abilities. It just depends on how open and available you are to looking at that. And not everybody wants to, or even has the inclination to, and that's fine. But for those who are a little bit more open to it, it's an invitation to start wondering, okay, what is this? Is there something more? Is there something that I am picking up on that requires a little bit more investigation? That's sort of how I look at spirit communication. It's like we're putting together puzzle pieces and we're kind of like detectives. And I tell people, you know, when I'm reading for clients in mediumship readings, it's like playing charades with an energy that isn't in a physical body. They're showing me things and telling me things and I'm feeling and sensing things. And together we're putting together those pieces to formulate a story, to formulate more information that comes through as a message. The really interesting thing is that when I first started to become, so I'll backtrack just for a sec. So as a little girl, saw spirit. And then I just, you know, we went to Catholic school. So it wasn't something that was talked about. And then over time, I just sort of blocked it out. It's like, What do you need, my love? Okay, I'll show you the puppy.
Oh,
you're silly.
Oh.
This is Maggie.
Hi.
Yes. You're so silly. I'm just going to take her sweater off.
Sure.
Just outside, so she might be a little hot. But yes, she gets a little bit silly. Okay, you need to come and lie down. Come in your bed. Yes. You need to come and lie down. Come silly. As a young girl, saw spirit everywhere. We went to Catholic school. Just wanted to really fit in. So I started to sort of kind of shut it down. And it was interesting because I would go home every day after school. And my mom would say, how was your day? And I'd say, it was really good. Mr. Smith was there. And she would look at me funny. And she would say, what do you mean Mr. Smith was there? Well, I saw Mr. Smith at the school, but I thought he died, but he was there. And he was kind of see-through. And he was really, really fun and really nice. And he came in and said, hi. And then it was like, oh, well, you're not getting supper. You stop talking about this crazy stuff. This is absurd. So I went in that direction. So I kind of put two and two together. You know, I can't talk about this at home. I won't have friends at school. Okay, I'm going to just start sort of shut this off. And that's when the anxiety started to really kick up for me, because it was my awareness, my body, my energy picking up on all these different energies around me. And I was shutting it off. I was like, no, I'm not even going to look at that. It's like, I was totally shutting my awareness off. No. I want to fit in. I want to be normal. And then, you know, you fast forward about 15 years ago, had an accident, and it was through the healing of that accident that I really started to have a greater understanding as to what was it that was causing me to run out of my own basement. What was it that, like, I wouldn't go in the basement if I was the only person at home alone. I would feel temperature shifts in the room, like the room would get ice cold and then it would heat up. I would hear doors opening and I would hear footsteps. I would hear people talking and there wasn't anybody there. Like, I thought, oh my God, I'm losing my mind. Like, there's, I might need to be locked up because this is crazy. And it was through reaching out to different spiritual teachers who helped me to understand that all of the anxiety that I was experiencing was because I was not willing to be aware of the spirit energy that was around me. And so, you know, there were years where I couldn't go to busy restaurants. Like if it was a full restaurant and we had the last table, chances are I wouldn't be able to go in. I had to learn boundaries with spirit, because I'm not like other mediums where, you know, I don't go to Safeway to talk to spirit and to relay messages. I'm at Safeway to get vegetables and fruit, to be honest. Like I'm there living my life. Like I have office hours. So I needed to figure out how to make it work for me. I would be awake every night and there would be crossover loved ones in my room saying, I'm lost. I can't find my wife. I don't know where I am. Can you help me? I don't know where my house is. And it was like, I just, all of a sudden it turned on like a fire hydrant and it was just crazy. And so my sleep was interrupted. I had anxiety during the day. I was terrified to be home alone in the house. There were certain businesses and establishments that I would not go in. I was just like, no, I'm not even going to go into that place because this is just not for me. And again, so I met different teachers. It's interesting how the universe sort of aligns you with the right person at the right time. You know, like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, that kind of thing. And so again, I found someone and she nailed it on the head. She said, she explained all the things that were happening. She said, you leave concerts early or you won't even go. And you have to leave restaurants early and you have this anxiety and you feel like someone's watching you and you're picking up all of these different things. And she said, it's because you're not willing to be aware of the spirit energy that's around you. You're not willing to be more conscious with it and understand it and make it work for you. And so then we started to formulate a game plan. Okay, I had office hours. You do not interrupt me at night when I'm sleeping. That's just a no. I had business hours to communicate with spirit. Unless it's life-threatening or if it's something that my spiritual team needs to relay to me, that's outside office hours, that's fine. So I was able to sort of pick and choose and sort of figure out how to make this work for me. And it was funny. I started to smell cigarette smoke and we were in the house and no one in the house smoked. And I would smell cigarette smoke and I would think, did I leave a candle burning? Is there something on the stove? Like, what is that? And it happened a few times. And I would say to my family, do you smell that? And they'd kind of look at me weird. And then we were going out to a restaurant. And just recently they had passed a bylaw here in Calgary that you couldn't smoke inside the restaurants. So we went into the restaurant, we were sitting there, we'd ordered appetizers. And again, it was like somebody blew smoke right in my face. And it was like, oh God, what is that? And I said, do you guys not smell that? Do you smell it? There's somebody in here smoking. And by this point, my family's like, are you okay? Like, what's going on with you? Mm-hmm. And then we ended up leaving early because I couldn't stay. It was like, I was so freaked out and I didn't understand it. So we leave. And the next day I went for a walk. There's this beautiful park here in Calgary. It's called Bowness and it's right by the river. It's lovely. So I'm walking and walking and walking and I'm walking for about 20 minutes. And then up ahead of me, I see this beautiful orb of light. It's the most beautiful light. And I hear my name is John. And I just sort of freeze and I'm looking around and I smell the cigarette smoke and there's no one else around me. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm losing my mind. What's going on? And I get in the car to come home and I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? I kept hearing, my name is John. My name is John. And I kept smelling the smoke. And so I get home. And the only thing I could think of was I needed to talk to my dad. I thought there's something with this name, John. So I get home and I call my dad and I said, is there someone in your family named John? And he said, well, yeah, my dad's name was John. And oh, did he smoke like a chimney? Oh, and he just had the best sense of humor. And we were chatting and chatting. And it was funny because then I got off the phone and I'm sort of putting the puzzle pieces together. And all I hear is, I told you it was me. And I turn and I look and there's my grandfather who I'd never met sitting in the chair. And so I'm sitting there and I'm kind of going, oh my God, I'm absolutely certified now. I've lost my mind. This is crazy. And so I started to realize that all of the anxiety was because I was pushing it away. I was like, no, this is weird. Nobody else is experiencing this. No, I don't know what this is. This needs to go away. This is just ridiculous. And so then it was, okay, how much more am I aware of the spirit world? And what is this going to look like? I was terrified then. I thought, oh no, I'm going to be taken over. I'm going to be possessed. They're not going to leave me alone. Like, what is this going to look like? And so again, it was just even being willing to be open and available to the idea that there was something that was contributing to causing the anxiety that I was feeling.
Oh my goodness. So, I mean, I have so many questions based on everything you were just saying. So let me get this straight. In today's day and age, you're supposed to be drinking a ton of water, doing yoga, making sure you and your whole family is happy, strike a good work-life balance, exercise, read books, watch movies, eat healthy meals, be a big part of your community, and get 8 hours of sleep. It's unrealistic. It's too much. Well, that's why there's Instacart to take a little bit off your plate or help put a little bit on your plate. Oh, I'm so sorry. Using Instacart, you search for all your favorite foods and items that you need from the grocery store, fresh produce, all your favorites, everything you want, and they deliver it to you. They go to the store and do your shopping for you. Just remove it from your to-do list, just with a few clicks. And you'll have your items delivered to your door in as fast as an hour. It's pretty quick. And through the link in the episode description, they're offering free delivery on your first order over $35. But you gotta make sure you click the link in the description. That tells Instacart that this show sent you and it helps support the show. And you can also take advantage of the free delivery. So yeah, be nice to yourself. Give Instacart a shot. So, do you remember, it's a funny question in the sense of, do you remember your first ghost? Do you remember the first time you saw a spirit person, as you put it? What was that? What happened?
So this is a really good story. There was a neighbor that had lived a few blocks over, and he worked in construction. Every time I went over to my friend's house, it was her dad. Every time I went over, I just always felt a bit off. I couldn't really describe what it was. It was like every time I went over, he was nice. He was friendly, give us money to go get Slurpees and things like that. But it was just, there was just this weird feeling whenever I was around him. And there was one day I was walking home from school and I was probably, I want to say like maybe 8 or 9. And I heard this truck honking. I turn and I look and I hear someone calling my name, and it's him. His name was Joe. And just so everyone knows, I have permission to share stories. Whenever I can share someone's name, I get permission. So I looked up and there was Joe, and he was driving this big work truck and he's honking and he's like, Shauna, Shauna. And I looked and I waved, and his face went, it changed into almost like a demonic looking face. And I was terrified and I dropped my lunch and I ran home, and it was like, oh my gosh, what was that? What did I just see?
That's so scary. Yeah.
It was terrifying. And again, I came home and I tried to tell my mom. I said, his face changed and there was something not right. And she was like, okay, you need to eat your lunch. There's nothing there. There's no boogeyman. No. Mm-hmm. Joe's a nice person. So it was about a month later. And then from that moment on, it's like, I didn't really want to go around and be around Joe as much, because every time I saw him, his face went sort of demonic, like almost looked like a monster. So about a month later, there was, there were fire trucks and there was an ambulance at their house. And it turned out that he harmed someone in the family and then he took his own life. Mm. And so I was supposed to be there that day because there was a birthday party. And I said to my mom, I said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. So if I hadn't seen that change in his face, for whatever reason, spirit was showing that to me. And so if I hadn't, I may have been in there in that house when all of these different things had happened that day. And so there were 3 people that had lost their lives that day. And so it was things like that I could remember. And most of them were just really, really scary. Like they just, like there wasn't any answer to it. And it was almost like, well, if it stops or it goes away, then we don't have to look at it. So he drove away in the truck that day and I didn't think of it again. And so yeah, things like that. And that's the earliest recollection I have. And then from that moment on, then it was, I would see, as again, I called them the see-through people. I would see them everywhere. I would see them in houses and vehicles at school. They were everywhere. And then as a medium, anyone who connects with those on the other side, from my understanding, working with my masters and teachers, our energy looks a little bit different. So they are aware that we are aware of them. And so it was like, no matter how fast I ran home from school, they were there. No matter how many doors I slammed in their face, they were there. It was just, oh my goodness. And one of the big things that I learned early on with my spiritual development was I'm the one with the physical body, that they don't have a body. So many people are just, they get into that energy and they're so scared. And I get it. I've been there. The anxiety kicks in and we're scared and we're trying to understand it. And it just starts to escalate. And we're not breathing. And, you know, our monkey mind starts to take over and it just perpetuates into this. We're down the rabbit hole before we know it. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. There's so many different facets to it, but yeah, that's the first time I can clearly remember.
Oh, wow. And so is there a typical thing that they want? To use the example of the movie Ghost, which you have recommended, is there something they're warning of, or what are they troubling you for?
Right. So there are a couple of different answers. Oftentimes, so it's like the movie Ghost. Patrick Swayze's character, Sam, he's shot and there's a beautiful light that opens up and he doesn't realize that he's dead. So he's out of his body. You can call that your soul, your spirit. He's out of his physical body, but he doesn't understand yet that he's dead. So the light opens up and normally that soul, that spirit would go into the light and would go to whatever that looks like for people. It could be heaven. It could be the hereafter. It could be the other side. It could be whatever works for people. And he doesn't go to the light, and then he becomes what we refer to as earthbound. So he's still connected to his life here, but he's not connected into all of his intuitive gifts, his mediumship gifts, as he was before. And so they're sort of lost. They're in this place where they don't quite understand. And oftentimes when energies are around, more often than not, if there are spirits around you, they are connected to you somehow. Hmm. So it could be your grandparents. It could be a pet that you've lost. It could be your brother, your sister, your spouse. It could be any number of people that have left the physical. And oftentimes, the most common thing that I've heard is that they just want us to know that they're okay. They want us to know that I'm okay. I'm in this other dimension or space, and that I'm okay. Because oftentimes when we lose someone, that's the number one question I'm asked is, are they okay? Where are they? Are they okay? Is everything okay with them? So for a medium, whenever there's spirit energy around me that isn't, they're not my loved ones, there's a message that they are looking to relay to someone. They are lost. Oftentimes, just before my client days is usually when the spirit starts to show up in my house, and they're connected to the clients that are coming in to see me. So there's that possibility as well. They're popping in. For most people, if they feel like it's a spirit energy that's around them and they're not sure and they're scared and they're feeling anxious, you can tell that energy to leave. And with universal laws, however you want to look at that, they actually have to leave. They can't stay. So if you say, all right, I don't know what this is. You need to get out of my property. You need to get out, go, go, go. Then they have to actually go. And then if there is more coming up for someone around, is that my grandfather? Like, what is that? I don't know. I had a dream. Could it be? I invite you to find a spiritual teacher that you resonate with to start to explore that, to help you to start to kind of unpack it so that you can understand it, so that it's not overwhelming. It doesn't induce the anxiety. Every student that I've worked with over the years, they've all had episodes of panic attacks, anxiety, uncertainty, worry, all of these different symptoms. And it's all relayed back to spirit. Just having that sense that there's something else happening. There's something else that's shifted. And when we start to understand that we all have spiritual gifts, we all have these abilities, then we can start to understand and sort of normalize it for people. I find that Hollywood's done this fantastic job of making it scary, and you're going to be possessed and you're going to summon demons. And, you know, we'll get our Ouija boards out and we'll bring demons in, and how about some aliens? And it's like, okay, you know what? Yes. Are there funky town energies? Yes, there are, but it's just not something that we focus on. I mean, I always tell people, whatever you're predominantly focusing on is what's going to show up in your world more and more. So If you're focused on having an understanding of what your anxiety, perhaps it could be spirit communication. Perhaps you have gifts and abilities with connecting with the other side that you are not aware of, maybe. And perhaps that's what it is. And I mean, anxiety can show up for a myriad of different reasons. I have so many clients who have high stress jobs and we're in the midst of a pandemic and they've lost a loved one. They've gone through a divorce. And oftentimes when there's more than one big life change in someone's life, that starts to change the way that our brain is functioning. Mm-hmm. And it starts to change the way that we see the world. And so all of those different things will start to add to the anxiety and what would normally bring that up for somebody. Then it's like it takes it to another whole level, if you will.
Very interesting. Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the week, I think.
Look who we got here. It's our friends at My Software Tutor. Can Excel be my friend? Many people have wondered this for years. The answer is yes, it can. Excel doesn't have to be like the friend that your mom makes you hang out with in elementary school. It's weird. It's always stuff with boogers, right? What's wrong? What's up? Why is that kid always eating boogers? Their house always had the best snacks too. And there he is. Boogers. Well, Excel doesn't have to be like that weird kid. Unless you were that weird kid, were you? Be honest. You know. I'm not actually asking. I can't hear your response, but you know. And it's okay if you were. You know, just take it easy with the boogers. Just talking about boogers to Oregon Ad Read. Don't worry. They didn't write that part. That was an improvisation. My Software Tutor offers 3 levels of real-time Zoom-based courses with a live instructor. They deliver practical, functional business skills in a friendly and supportive environment. It can be daunting, right? You need that supporting environment to learn Excel. There's no stupid questions. It could be really difficult. And as we know, when we talk about it on this podcast all the time, it could be really daunting to learn something new and put yourself out there. So think of this as like a kindergarten for learning something new and helping your job prospects. Or be better at the job you already have. Get that raise. Get that whatever. Take pictures of it for Instagram. Yeah, that'll be cool. Keeping it as vague as possible so that you can input your own. Just making a mad lib of your own desires. These courses will increase your marketability, whether you're an employee, job seeker, consultant, or contractor. Register at mysoftwaretutor.com and use the promo code POD20 to save 20% off all registrations. Thank you so much to My Software Tutor. Yeah, guys, take advantage of that 20% off and confidently list Excel on your resume.
You also mentioned a Sixth Sense or The Sixth Sense, whatever. Mm-hmm. The Sixth Sense, whatever it's actually titled. I think that movie would be a lot less scary if the ghost didn't show up still wearing or looking dismembered as they died. I mean, is that how you see people, or are they don't look like, you know, like the woman with the bike accident showed up to the kid with blood all over her head? Like that's a much more frightening perspective as opposed to just like a person coming by.
Exactly. And that's a great question. When I first started doing readings, I would be shown crime scenes and gunshot wounds, and I would taste blood or I would feel the effects of whatever had happened. And I found the first 6 months after I started doing readings professionally, I was exhausted. I was starting to get burnt out. And I thought, you know, I don't want to do this if this is going to impact me like this. So I went in and kind of brought in my spirit team, if you will. And I said, okay, listen, I'm happy to do this work, but we need to change this. So I made it kind of like a universal law. I said, I only want to see loved ones at their happiest. I only want to see them. I don't want to see anything that's gory, or I don't want to see dismemberments. I don't want to see horrible things that happen to people's bodies. I don't want to see that. If there's something in the way that someone crossed that whoever I'm reading for, it's imperative that they show that to me, then that's fine. If, for an example, I had read for someone about 6 months ago, and her father was in hospice, and she was holding his hand just before he crossed over, and she had said beautiful words to him. She said, you know, I remember dancing at my wedding, and do you remember the song that was playing? And she started, you know, singing the song, and it was just beautiful. And so his message that came through, you know, I can see you singing the song to him and remembering that. And I said, he just wants you to know that he heard everything that you said. And so in those instances, I will share that beautiful memory or that experience. But I find when we leave the physical, we're no longer in pain. We are no longer battling cancer. We are whole, incomplete. We just don't have that physical body anymore. And so I always often, you know, I will ask that they show themselves at their happiest. And oftentimes this is a bit of a, it can be a bit fun to try to figure this out. I read for someone a little while ago, and I said, there's this beautiful woman here. Her name is Rita, and she's got red pin curls, and she's dancing. She's so vibrant, so full of life. And I said, do you know who this is? And she said, I have no idea. And I said, okay, well, I need you to go home and ask your family, because she's connected to your family on your mother's side. So she went home, and sure enough, it was her grandmother that she hadn't met. So her mom pulled out the picture book and said, the album, and said, oh my God. So they sent me this picture, and that's exactly who they showed to me.
Oh, wow.
I said, yeah, she wasn't 89 in the hospital bed, just a completely different reality. And so our loved ones on the other side, they want us to remember them at their healthiest and their happiest. And so that's something that I've sort of tweaked. I know that a lot of mediums will share the details of someone's crossing and what that looks like. And I find that I find losing someone that we love is traumatic enough. And I don't want to add to that. I don't need to experience it. And I don't want that person that I'm reading for to be re-traumatized or worry that their loved ones suffered or wonder about it, or they don't need to know the graphic details from my perspective.
It's not important. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's not important. And for some people it is. For some people, they want to know everything that happened, and the gorier the better. And that's okay. That's to each their own. It's totally cool. But I've yet to have an energy, like a crossover loved one or a ghost or an entity. I have yet to have something come in like that and intentionally scare me. I have yet to have that happen. If I'm aware of something, I mean, you know, working energetically, sometimes there are different energies that will pop in and it's like, wow, what is that? I've been doing this a long time though. So at first it would be like, oh my God, what is that? And then now it's, oh, hi, what, okay, what's going on? Like it's, I'm able to be a little bit more curious with it and sort of sit with it. Spirit energy from the other side, when we're connecting into those beautiful, benevolent energies, they don't want to scare us. They don't want to terrify us. They're not out to get us. They're not trying to harm us. They're oftentimes just trying to get our attention. And, you know, places that are haunted, as an example, these energies may be stuck for a myriad of different reasons. And we go in and we clear them. Okay. And it's done. It shifts. Like it's, and again, there are other people that would want to go in and figure out why are they there and what are the noises and what's there, you know what I mean? And so there are two different sort of trains of thought with it, whereas I'm like, okay, there's something there. Let's clear it. Let's take care of it. And so, yeah, I think their mind can really start to play tricks on them, and their mind and you know, they start thinking of some of the movies they've watched and, oh my God, and maybe I am going to be possessed and, you know, what is this? And so it just sort of, I think a lot of it is just not having the knowledge or the, you know, not having the knowledge of what it could be. Like, what are the other possibilities around this? What else could be going on? What are the other possibilities? Like, what is this? Like, could it be your grandparents coming through and saying, we're here. There's this opening in time where you are open and available to the possibility. So we took it just even for that split second to come in and just, you can feel them or sense them, or you just know they're there. And so it's just, I like to share the beauty of spirit communication. And again, for the majority of people that work with me who have anxiety, 9 times out of 10, there is a gift and capacity with mediumship. There's a gift and capacity that perhaps they haven't looked at. They've been scared. Something happened in childhood. They wanted to shut it down. They were told they were crazy. They wanted to fit in. They have a religious background. There's so many different reasons as to why someone wouldn't want to look into it. And not to say that everyone has to. This isn't to say that everyone that can communicate with the other side, you have to. No, you don't. We have free will. It's there for a reason for you to explore, whether it's for you or you want to share that with other people. There's so many different options with it that I love to give people the information and then sort of let them pick and choose what works for them. Take what resonates and leave the rest.
There's so much freedom and choice. Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned how you've been able to sort of dictate the terms of which people visit you. I guess. I'm sorry. The verbs and using how to describe this is still escaping me. So I apologize as I'm awkwardly trying to make my way through this. But very interesting that you're able to dictate the terms of these interactions. Is that difficult to do? But I would imagine for someone who's like new to this, or someone who is a medium and or a child, and that is empowering to know. How hard is that to put in place?
It's actually not that difficult at all. And, you know, I often tell people the majority of people they can get their head around the idea that we all have a guardian angel. Mm-hmm. And so if you can imagine that you have this guardian angel, you have this beautiful energy that's around, that's looking out for you. It's there, it's available. If we can expand on that just a little bit into the idea that we all have a plethora of different energies that are available to us from the other side. I call them our spiritual team. We can call them our spirit family, our soul family. There are different names for it. And again, it's different lingo. For some people, it's they call them entities. For other people, it's, you know, the angels. For other people, it's, you know, their archangels, or it's our ancestors, our loved ones, ghosts, you know, demons. I mean, there are so many different terms. And I always invite people to start by just really getting into a place where you're open and available to start exploring a little bit more curious. There was, when I first started kind of delving into this again and kind of opening it up, I thought, okay, it's not going away. I'm trying to evade this at every possible junction, and it's just not going away. It's like it got louder. And I was more aware. My anxiety was through the roof, and it was impacting me in so many ways that were not positive. So I thought, okay, I need to look at this. And so I started doing this guided meditation. I don't recall who it was by, but it was a guided meditation to meet your guardian angel. And so I started with this meditation, and then I started to become familiar with my guardian angel's energy around me. So I knew when she was around me. Her name is Gabrielle. I call her Gabby for short. But I started to become aware of when Gabby was around me, what her energy felt like, what she heard, what I could hear, what she sounded like. And I could start to have conversations with her and start to ask for clarity and guidance. And these energies on the other side, they're benevolent, and they will help guide and direct and give us clarity if we're open and available to it. And then I started connecting with my grandparents. So they came in and I started talking with them, and it was so beautiful. And it was really beautiful with my grandparents, because I could confirm things with my family. Because at first I thought, am I just making this up? This is crazy. I must just be making this up. This is BS. What is this? And then I would call my aunt, and I would say, okay, so can you tell me about this? Or was her favorite color periwinkle blue? Was her favorite meal this? You know, like I could confirm different things, and it started to help me develop a little bit more confidence. And knowing that I was channeling, knowing that I was connecting into something that wasn't here in this reality. Does that answer that question?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's incredible.
Hey, do you wish you were a thoughtful card person but don't have the time or energy? Right? You want to be that person that has a hobby, full-time job, crushing it in the job, has kids, has a family, has a dog, whatever it is, and still, right, sends that message, sends a card, handwritten, something that makes you laugh and cry. How does that person do it? I don't know. But maybe it's Cardist. Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Cardist. The Cardist Studio is your personal assistant. That's how you get it done, right? Somebody helps you out with it. That's okay. The end result is still the end result. You're thinking, oh, should I send them a card? That's it. From there, you just jump onto thecardiststudio.com and tell them exactly what just popped in your head. Your thoughtfulness. The Cardist Studio will get your personalized message handwritten into the card and in the mail for you. You're busy. You're doing a lot of other things. You know, it's not like they're going to tell on you. And the person's going to be thrilled. I've gotten one of these, and it filled my heart with joy. Even better, it's fast, it's custom, and it's a total life changer. Hey, You're a thoughtful card person now. Look at you. New achievement unlocked. Just go to thecardiststudio.com and you can even use the promo code ANXIETYPOD for 10% off all orders.
So someone is experiencing something in this house. Let's just use as an example of they move into this house and for the first time in their lives, cabinets are opening or they're hearing things or smelling things. You've talked about clearing houses. Is that an effective way of handling a visitation or a presence in a house?
Mm, absolutely. So for someone who, you know, and there are two, I interact with two different types of people. So, you know, one person, if there are cupboards opening and the radio is turning on and off and the lights are flickering and they're smelling cigarette smoke, they will oftentimes, you know, reach out to me and say, I know this is my aunt. I know that this is my brother. I know, is that who this is? And so they will reach out for confirmation because in their mind, they're like, oh, I know exactly who this is and what's going on. And it doesn't scare them. They're just at a different place with it. They're a little more ready to explore and ready to look at that. And then the other calls that I get are from people who, I had one woman call and she said, you have to come now. I'm not going back in that house. There's something in there and it's touching us and it's watching us and it's talking to us. And so those are the typically the type of calls that I get when we do space clearings. Space clearings are the best word I can use to describe them. The energies are they're discordant energies. So it could be a loved one who hasn't gone to the light, like the movie Ghost. It could be a loved one that perhaps died in the house and they haven't crossed over and they're still connected to that house. They haven't moved on. It can be a lost soul. Sometimes, you know, someone will come in, you know, if you imagine, you know, and these energies, so a lost soul, for example, and you can call them a ghost if that resonates better. So these energies will gravitate towards energies that are familiar to them. Mm-hmm. So if someone died and they were perhaps an alcoholic, they will typically hang out at bars. They will hang around people that like to drink because that's an energy that they understand. If someone was suicidal, they were depressed and they took their own life and they didn't go to the light for whatever reason, they will gravitate towards people who are depressed, someone who has depressive thoughts and they feel very sad and they're down because it's an energy that they understand. So sometimes these energies they can come into someone's house, you know, and I'm not telling people to stop having parties or get-togethers, but it's oftentimes when we go to clear a space, it's after they've had a gathering in their home and these energies come in with someone who has similar energies to what they had when they crossed over. And then those energies will stay behind. They linger for whatever reason. So oftentimes they're just like stuck energy. They just need a little bit of help to get to the light. That's really, I would say 99% of the time, it's just an energy that's just stuck. They don't know. They either don't know that they've died. They know they've died and they don't understand. It's like they're kind of stuck in this in-between space. There's this reality here on Earth, and then there's the hereafter, heaven, the other side, whatever that looks like for you. And if they don't go to the light, they're kind of stuck in this in-between spot. And so that's oftentimes, that's what a ghost is. It's an energy that's stuck. And so myself, a medium, we go in and we're clearing them. It's as easy as that. And so, yeah, I think, and yeah, are there mischievous ghosts? Absolutely. Are there ghosts that like to mess with people? Yeah, absolutely. Just like there are people that like to be mischievous. There are people that like to pull pranks and say crazy things and do crazy things. There are spirits that do the same thing. They still have that personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that leads me right to my next question. You described them as funky town, but how prevalent are ghosts that may not be on the scale of Casper, the friendly ghost, to Satan, maybe leaning a little bit more towards Satan? How often does that show up? And how do you work with that for somebody who may be experiencing that? I want to hear your experience, but also maybe some advice that you might have for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. From my experience, I mean, I have a seance every Halloween and we create, and the only reason that I do that is because I've I've mastered how to work with all of these different energies. And so I'm not scared of any of it. I know how to handle it. I know how to be, you know, and I have part of my spiritual team to do this kind of work. I consider them spiritual bouncers. So if there's any kind of, I have it set up that only energies come through in classes or readings that will contribute the most to the person that is there. And, you know, it's not an open gateway for any kind of riffraff or any kind of weirdo energies to come in. So I have it set up a little bit differently. And I think it's just really important to, first of all, I mean, if there is something that's happening in your world and you're terrified and you're scared and it's giving you the EVGVs, then I so encourage you to find someone to work with. Mm-hmm. To help you to understand what that is and what you can do with it. Again, the majority of calls that I get are from people that are scared of something, but they have an awareness, but they don't want to go into it. They're like, no. I want you to take care of it. I don't want to look at that. And that's okay. That's totally fine. I've experienced some pretty funky energies. I mean, if there's a movie, for whatever reason, they're talking movies today. That's my guides are usually talking about music or movies to help make it relatable to people. But yeah, I have seen things that look like something from the movie Alien. I have seen things that look like just it's not something from here. There was something, this was early on when I first started doing space clearings. There was this being, this energy there that I swear it looked like something from Hellraiser. I don't know what that was, where it was from, where it was conjured up from, but it was just, wow. And I always have teachers and guides that are even more experienced than I am. So I can learn from those people. So thankfully I would have these experiences and then I would be picking up the phone going, oh my God, you're not going to believe what just happened. What is this? What's going on with that? And so I think it's just really important to understand from my perspective, if you are aware of different energies, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I mean, not everybody is aware of stuff. Most people are checking their Apple phone and they're doing their 9 to 5 and they've got their set schedule and that's their life and they love it. And that's amazing. But if you're open to the possibilities, I mean, it can be magical. It can just be so powerful. And we have this spiritual team that's available to each and every one of us. I mean, I have guides that help me when I'm writing. I have guides help me cook. I have guides help me. Oh, I have runner guides that always get me Costanza parking everywhere I go. So if you're open to it, these energies are there to help us and guide us. And they don't take over our life. We have free will, but there is a balance. There is a dance to getting to know these energies. And there's also setting up the boundaries around that. Again, I mean, I gave myself working hours because I had spirit in the house every night. I used to teach classes at the house and there were a lot of different energies in this one class. And at the end of the class, everybody finished up and, you know, everybody went home and then we were making supper. I remember my daughter looked up at me and she said, oh God, Mom, they're still in the house. And she ran up to her room and slammed the door. And I said, what's still in the house? And I realized that it was like, oh shoot, we didn't close. We didn't close the doorway of energy that we opened for these energies to come through for the class. So then it's like a doorway and kind of all these different weirdo energies were coming in. So then we had to go through and clear the house and just kind of put everything back to where it came from. The first space clearing I ever did, the people that owned the house, they said they didn't want to go in the basement. The basement was cold. They heard noises. Stuff was moving, shifting. The dog was barking all the time. He would be watching something go up the stairs and barking and growling, and because animals see spirit, and called in to do this clearing. And it was a little boy. And I don't know where he was from. Like he almost looked like a little elf. Like he had these little pointy ears and he was kind of running around and he's like, you can't catch me. And I said, well, you know what? You're not meant to be here, my sweet. You're not supposed to be here. There was actually a portal or a gateway, if you want to call it, under the stairs. And so my guides were saying, we just need you to kind of corral him around into this area. And then we'll handle it from there. And so I remember we finally got this little guy to go into this area and yeah, the guides came in, took him and gone. And it was the craziest thing. I stood there for about 10 minutes after going, what just happened? What the heck was that? And so, yeah, there are portals, gateways, openings, a lot of the TV shows, I mean, you know, Andromeda, and, you know, different TV shows. I mean, there's an element of truth to them. I mean, someone has channeled this information based on their experiences. And I think it's an invitation just to be a little bit more curious. And if it's a hard no for people, it's a hard no. That's okay. I'm not here to convince you. It's just, I try to open people to the possibility that you have gifts and capacities. You have loved ones on the other side. And if you'd like to connect and communicate with them, you can.
Incredible. Yeah. Very, very fascinating stuff. Well, to put basically what everything you're saying kind of together for someone who's feeling anxious in their living space or seeing things, it seems as though connecting with older mediums, sort of understanding that the average ghost isn't really trying to get you.
There's a lot of it. We have free will and we can set boundaries pretty well. And for the 1% of ghosts that need a push, there's someone like you that can help handle the rough stuff. Did I miss anything there?
No, I think that was everything. I think that's great. And for people that I have a lot of clients that do experience different levels of anxiety for, you know, a myriad of different reasons. I found one of the best ways to help with anxiety and stress is actually through scent. Scent will actually rebalance the central nervous system the quickest. So if you have a diffuser, here in Canada, we have a company called Sage, S-A-J-E, and they have this incredible essential oil called Stress Release. And so anytime that's available, you can just, they also have Liquid Sunshine, which is fantastic. But again, anytime the stress is starting to peak and come up, that's what I always tell people, you know, just have essential oils, breath work. You know, when you do a cycle of breath work, breathe in for 8, release for 8, do a cycle of breathing that instantly starts to calm you down. One of my favorite ways for people that have anxiety to sort of come back into their grounding and just sort of come back into present time is to just place your hand over your heart. And as you continue to take nice deep breaths in through your mouth, it starts to rebalance your brain's electromagnetic field with the electromagnetic field of your heart. And it'll instantly relax you. And so oftentimes, again, when something, if it is a spirit, if it is a ghost, even just saying the word ghost just starts to get people, the EVGVs start to come in and they start thinking, oh my God, some basic ways for people to start to just be curious about what it is. And if there is something more going on, if there's activity, then yeah, absolutely. Find a medium, find someone to work with, find somebody to come in and clear that. Burning Palo Santo incense will clear the energies out. I mean, there are so many different ways that we can do that. And I think it's something worth investigating. If any of this sparks sort of a, I wonder if that's me, or I wonder if you're curious, I think that's an invitation for you to maybe delve a little bit deeper.
Very cool. Well, how can people get a hold of you if they would like to ask a question about how to get started down the road?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Again, it's Shauna DeMellon, and you can check out my website at livealifeyoulovealspelledout.org. I'm on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. Yeah, reach out. Even if you just want to share a really cool story with me, that would be amazing. And I'm happy to answer questions and point you in the right direction if you are needing a little bit of extra help.
Love it. And on top of being a medium, you also work with people in grief. So I wanted to mention that as well, in case anybody needs that kind of assistance as well. So this has been incredible. So fun to consider the possibilities and kind of dive in there a bit deeper. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me, Patrick. Thank you. This has been so much fun. Thank you.
I mean, some of that stuff made my, like, the hairs on the back of your neck. Why is it the hairs on the back of your neck? It's like, I don't even remember that I have hairs on the back of my neck. It's like, that's their evolutionary purpose. So that you feel creeped out when someone talks about ghosts. Speaking of which, I'm reading Dave Grohl's book. And in one of the chapters, no spoilers, he talks about presence in one of the homes he used to own and these dreams that he was having because of that,
pretty wild stuff. It definitely made those evolutionary hairs on the back of my neck stick up. Well, thank you so much to Shauna. And before we get to the weird thing that caused me anxiety this week, I want to remind you of my other podcast called Death Space Filling the Void. Check it out wherever you get your podcasts. There's also the Buy Me a Coffee link. If you're liking the show and you want to make a donation, you can do that. The link is in the description wherever you're listening. If you want home delivery of groceries, you can sign up for Instacart, which the link is in the description again, wherever you're listening. And by signing up for Instacart that way, you're telling them that this show sent you, which also helps support the show. I'm going to keep that in. We've also got My Software Tutor with the promo code POD20 for 20% off, and the Carter Studio with the promo code ANXIETYPOD for 10% off your order. So the weird thing that caused me anxiety this week, the whole time we're in the kayaks, I keep checking my phone, right? Because you're pretty low to the water in a kayak, and they made you keep your phone on you for some reason. So I was very nervous about losing that, and the car keys was in my right pocket. And at one point, this container ship had, you know, far off in the distance was coming through. But it was creating these huge waves. I mean, relatively so for a kayak that can handle, you know, I was going to say a fart in the water. But then, you know, I still said it. I'm so sorry. So these waves come through and I try to paddle out and turn to be able to, like, go through it. Right? Like with the front of the boat, a bow, stern. I don't know. But I'm not able to turn in time. And so the raft kind of gets rocked a bit. And thankfully, it didn't like tip over or anything. But my thought process initially went to holding in my car keys and my phone. And I lost my sunglasses. Brutal. Loved them. Had them for a few years. Really good pair. I even had the Croaky on there, but I only have the Croaky left. The Croaky remained. But the funny thing now is that the whole time I mentally was going back and forth, like, you're going to lose your phone, you're going to lose your keys, you're going to lose something, right? And then the other side of me was like, no, just relax, you're out on the water, have fun, like, breathe. And now that I lost something, my anxiety feels validated, right? Like, we told you so. Yeah, anxiety definitely feels like a we, not like a one thing, right? Just, we told you this was going to happen. And it's like, all right, just settle down. I don't know who you're rooting for here. You just want to be right, huh? Yeah, 1-0 anxiety last week. That's most weeks, if we're being honest. Well, as always, thank you so, so much for listening. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.